10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Morning.
All right, how you doing? Hope you're fighting fit this morning. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to go. Raring to rock and roll for the day ahead. Harry, how you doing? My producer, little Harry, what's up?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Good. okay, we had a little bit of feedback from yesterday. Tiny bit of housekeeping before we dive straight in. Yeah, everyone didn't like the Beckham stuff. Just the celebrity slop. Great, good. You're my people. We're all on the same page. You are the glorious band, the chosen few. You're watching Breakfast with Bo, the Bo Show, the Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club, Bo's Breakfast Club, the BBC, the BBC. All right, well, okay, well, there is loads more Beckham, though, today in the headlines and things, so I shall skip over it as much as possible. Yeah, happy to, great. And go forward, all that sort of thing, you know, if it's just real slop. We'll try and do is keep the slop to an absolute minimum, shall we? Let's do that. Right, let's jump straight in then. Europe condemns Trump's new colonialism. It's new colonialism, didn't you know? Trump wanting to protect the waters around North America. That's colonialism. And Bex bites back, so it's still Bex. All right, The Guardian. F The Guardian. I'm not supposed to swear. I can't swear, can I, really? But F them. All right, The Guardian. Europe condemns Trump threats on Greenland as new colonialism. And there's Emmanuel Macron wearing sunglasses indoors. Don't wear sunglasses indoors. Is that just a sort of... it's not an English thing, is it? I think it's just a normal person thing. Take your hat off indoors, unless there's a specific reason for it. Don't wear a hat indoors. Don't wear glasses indoors. Don't wear sandals and socks. You know, it's pretty straightforward stuff, 101 stuff. Macron does a speech at WEF, at the Davos WEF conference. Didn't even bother taking his sunglasses off. Bit French, isn't it? Macron leads resistance, pardon me, to US president's goal of controlling Arctic Island. Why would Macron care? Why does anyone really outside of Denmark care? Like, properly care enough to sort of make it an international issue and, like, send troops there and make a... What difference does it make to Macron? And French people. Same for UK. Or German, the average German, French, or British person. Difference does it make to... In fact, well, the difference it would make is that the waters might be a bit safer from Russian or Chinese influence, but... Okay. China gets approval for vast embassy in London. God. So, yeah, finally happened. Finally happened. The deadline was supposed to be yesterday, the self-imposed deadline, which was like the fifth one or whatever. They finally kept to it. And the answer is yes, you can have that giant embassy. So, just one more example. This is quite a big one as well. Bigger than most of the other examples, perhaps with the exception of Chagos, of our government just clearly acting not in our interest. Not just like there is an argument to be made that it is in our interest. No, it's 100% not in our interest. 100%. I don't see any argument for it. Well, okay. On paper, the argument is that it will just give us better... We're likely to get better trade deals with China going forward simply because we've appeased them. Again, that's a word that's sort of steeped in all sorts of connotations and baggage that comes with that, the word appeasement. But this sort of really does feel like appeasement. Because Starmer's going to China soon, in the next few days, I believe it is. In the next few days, he's going to China... the first time a prime minister, first time he's gone, first time any prime minister has gone since like 2017 or 18 or something like that. Prime ministers don't often go to Beijing, but he's going in a few days. And he wants to get a little pat on the head from Winnie the Pooh, doesn't he? Good boy. Good puppy. Well done. Now, a couple of other quick details on this before we move on. The main real worry, not just that it's the biggest embassy in all of Europe, completely sort of unprecedented, weirdly giant embassy complex of buildings, not just one building, a complex of buildings. Not just that it's that, and that's sort of a bit extraordinary, but if you've been watching the Bow Show or keeping your eye on the news at all, you'll know that the real issue, the real concern, proper sort of national security concern, is that under that building is also a hub of all sorts of fibre optic cables and telecommunications cables. And even on the Chinese plans, there's like various building elements going on down there that they've greyed out on their plans. And it looks like unless you're really, really naive, it does look like they're going to try and attempt some sort of signals intelligence espionage type caper. I mean, MI5, there's another somewhere later down we might see, there's a headline somewhere other saying, with MI5 saying, that is still a worry, sort of formally coming out and making a statement saying, you know, that is a worry. Then I saw another headline saying that some of the powers that be in London said, well, we're just going to move that hub, that telecommunications, fibre optics hub place thing that's under that building. We're just going to move that. We'll spend a bit of money, like a few million or whatever it takes, a few weeks worth of builders, and we'll move that so the Chinese won't be able to do any like actual intercept, signals intelligence intercept stuff. So if they do that, my concerns are largely dealt with. I don't necessarily want a giant Chinese embassy in Tower Hill. But if it's not like a danger, like an actual danger, then I'm not too worried, you know, ultimately. I'd rather not have it. But so if they do that, if they do move this thing, because that was my concern. I guess that's most people's actual concern. Like, are they really a danger? Because in the weeks and even months leading up to this, you get various reports, completely conflicting reports from our own intelligence services, MI5 and MI6. GCHQ, all that sort of thing. One day there'll be a story saying, oh, it's no big deal, the Chinese aren't really much of a threat, we've looked into this specific issue and it's not a threat. And then you'll see another paper on another day saying, yeah, no, we've been saying it's a threat, we've said it's a threat like six times over the last few months, it's definitely a threat, of course it's a threat. So you seem to get mixed messages a little bit, but anyway. There was a headline earlier in another paper saying, it is still a worry. Jailed nurse Letby will face no new charges. So that's that convicted child-killing nurse, Lucy Letby. I mean, as far as I understand, she's already convicted and lost her appeal, has she not? Sentenced to 15 life sentences. So if her appeals have failed, she's not getting out of prison ever, ever, ever easily, many times over. But they were trying to slap new charges on her. And the story there is that there are no new charges. It doesn't make any difference, does it? She's never getting out of prison. I won't say too much about the Letby case beyond this. Give you a couple of minutes. I followed it at the time. I think most people did. I watched a documentary or two at the time that sort of came on the telly. Or one on YouTube, one on the telly, I believe. Like at the time of the trial, at the case. Now, those documentaries, the angle taken in those documentaries is that just that she was completely guilty. And it was, you know, she was completely guilty. It's high time she was caught. The only bad thing is that she wasn't caught earlier. That sort of angle, right? And anyone else who knows, who keeps up with the news, there's a whole narrative, there's a whole group of people that say she's innocent. I think even Peter Hitchens is one of those. Some serious people, you know, like ex-judges and things, say the prosecution against her was flawed in loads of different ways. and the police were like looking for a scapegoat sort of thing. So, in other words, what I'm trying to say here is that it seems to me that there's a strong case for her guilt, but there's also not a completely nonsense argument for her innocence. Now, beyond that, I haven't looked into it, so I'm not in and of itself fantastically interested in that story. Right? I'm a history nerd. I like global politics a bit. I'm a big picture guy. You know, I do like geopolitics and stuff like that, you know, and history. So I haven't spent a fantastic amount of time, really, properly looking into investigating all the details, all the he said, she said elements of everything that has gone on and around the Letby case. But I know people have got some strong feelings about it on both sides as well. But yep, I'm going to Tim Pool this one. I'm going to plant myself firmly on the fence. Actually, that's not fair. Tim Pool doesn't actually do that very often. He's got a rep, hasn't he, Tim Pool, for being a fence sitter. I think he used to do it a lot more than he does now. Very often he's got very strong opinions, one way or the other, Tim Pool. Anyway, don't know why I'm suddenly talking about Tim Pool. Lucy Letby. I don't know. I don't intend to read all about it either. Right? I just don't... Can't bring myself to like really, really care that much about it. Okay, moving on. The Independent. There you go. David Beckham still top of the thing. Macron and his sunglasses. Stupid globalist traitor, Emmanuel Macron. He's sporting shades. Oh, to aid recovery from an eye condition. Oh, well, apologies. I did not know that. Okay, if that's true, if that reporting is accurate, if it's for medical purposes. All right, I'll take it back a bit. I think you've got to do that when you're wrong. Not just people that are like on the internet or whatever, but just in life. It feels good. It feels good to admit you were wrong. Like, oh, no, all right, I got it wrong. Fair enough. No, you were right. Fair dues. You know when people are wrong and you're proven to be wrong and then they just stick to their guns regardless, it just gets embarrassing quickly. Don't do that. Try and squirm out of it. No, that's not exactly what I said. You didn't quite understand what I meant. What I really meant was, just admit you were wrong. All right, he's got an eye condition. Well, fair enough then. I wonder what it is. All right. Yeah, accusing Trump of new colonialism. Macron takes aim at bully, Trump. He's calling Trump a bully. All right. I never really heard him call like the Chinese government bullies. They act much more like a bully, don't they, on the world stage? French leader calls for rule of law over brutality. That's a quote. Rule of law over brutality. Trump hasn't done anything yet. What do you mean brutality? What, threatening you with a 10% tariff because you were trying to... because you were goading him. That's brutality, is it? There hasn't been any brutality yet. At all, over the Greenland thing. Calm down, Emmanuel. He's such a weirdo, isn't he, Macron, I think. A bit of a weirdo. So he calls for rule of law over brutality in thinly veiled swipe from Davos, because he's already at Davos. Trump is going there now. I believe he flew there last night, so he's going to set to speak there today, on Wednesday. Today, Wednesday the 21st. thinly veiled swipe at Davos, hours after US President launches yet another attack on NATO allies with rant against Keir Starmer's Chagos Islands. Yeah, we reported it yesterday that he did a Truth Social, didn't he? Calling our government and Starmer guilty of an act of great stupidity or something, wasn't it? So the papers are still talking about that a bit today. Okay, the FT, the Financial Times. Rift with Europe deepens as Trump warns no going back on Greenland. US leader firm on seizure, I guess, of Greenland. He's staying firm on it. Hostility rattles investors. Doesn't take much to rattle the markets, to be honest, does it? Like, literally a few words from a lectern and the markets are rattled. They're panicked a bit. UK comes under fire. I guess that's from Trump on Truth Social. prospect of Davos talks. So when the Donald turns up to Switzerland, Davos, the ski resort of Davos in Switzerland, it's expected, or obviously it will be the case, that he'll get to sit down, have a powwow, have a tete-a-tete with all the different leaders, sort down, hopefully, you know, iron some things out one way or another. Saw Trump in a press conference just yesterday or overnight, and he did say something that was, I thought, sort of interesting or true or telling or whatever it is. He said, someone asked him about, what's your relationship with Starmer and Macron? And he said, oh, no, they're good. They're all right. I mean, they're liberal, but they're all right. They need to sort their countries out. Again, where's all the liars in any of that? But he said, when I'm there, they're nice to me. He said, when I'm not there, they get up all on their high... He didn't say this. This is my paraphrasing now. When I'm not there, they get up all up on their high horse. And they get all leery and they talk big. But when I'm there, they're sort of meek little kittens and they're always really nice to me and sort of, you know, essentially go along with what I'm doing and what I'm saying and bow down, again, metaphorically. It's interesting, isn't it, how even in this day and age, even when we're talking about national governments and billions of pounds and dollars getting thrown all over the place on the strength of a word, still, it matters if you're physically there. If Trump's physically in a room with Starmer or Macron, then that makes like a world of difference. It's interesting, isn't it? People are funny. Human psychology. Do you find all that sort of thing interesting? Okay, what else has the FT got? China wins go-ahead for vast embassy after spy chiefs, our spy chiefs, declare risk mitigated. There you go, so there's a headline there saying that our intelligence service say, oh, the risk's not that bad, actually. It's not that bad. We'll see. Again, I saw other information this morning where it's like MI5 say risk is higher than ever or whatever, you know. You get conflicting reports. You really do on that element of it. The Times, the venerable Times. Goes with Beckham. Not going to talk about it. Nothing's changed, by the way. Just to quickly say, real quick, on the Beckham story, even though it's all over the place, nothing has changed. It's the same story as yesterday, in essence. Okay. That's all I'll say. Don't worry. Moving on. MI5 will move sensitive cables away from China embassy, says spies. No, it says spies, spooks. If you work for MI5 or MI6, you're a spook. They're all spies. You sit at a desk all day and type away on a PC. You're a spy, are you? All right. Yeah, okay, so there you go, right? So look at the difference between that. The FT says the risk is mitigated. The Financial Times says that they're going to move the cables away. So, well, I hope they do. I really hope they do. They've got to, haven't they? You've got to, surely. You can't trust the Chinese government not to take the Mickey. That's what they do, isn't it? They take the Michael out of everyone around them all the time, at every opportunity. That's their special move. That's their signature move, isn't it? To be sneaky and do anything like that that's in their interest. Untrustworthy as a government. I'm not saying that about all Chinese people. The government, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. We're just going to trust that they're not going to do something like that. Get real. We'll work something out, Trump tells NATO. President attacks Britain's, quote, stupid, quote, Chagos deal. Yeah, but so Trump is, you know, he wants to work something out with NATO. I hope they can. I really hope they can now. I step back from it. Right. And as an Englishman, I don't really care about Greenland, right? I'd rather those waters are controlled by the US Navy and Coast Guard or the Danish Navy and Coast Guard than completely free-for-all for Russia and China, particularly China. I would rather that's the case, but I don't actually really care. When I look at it, I stand back, zoom out, calm down, take a deep breath. I look at it. I'm like, Denmark, just make a deal. If Trump's that insistent about it, and it is in the interests of Greenland, it is in the interests of the safety of the North Atlantic, Denmark, just make a deal. Or you're going to get stubborn for no apparent really, really good reason and force Donald Trump to do some sort of military intervention. That's how you're going to play it. Why don't you just make a deal and get loads of money for it? Isn't it like an annoyance to you anyway? Like, isn't Greenland like a drain on your resources anyway? Haven't most Danish people I've ever spoke to always moaned about Greenland? Just make a deal. Surely that's just the expedient thing to do, isn't it? The prudent thing to do. The reasonable, rational thing to do. Just make a deal with the US. I don't know. In fact, Harry, I said we're going to do a poll.
Yes.
Have you got that? Is it up yet? Is it live?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of interference on your mic.
Oh. Is it better?
No. So I'll turn the mic off and I'll stop talking to you. We'll have to sort that out for tomorrow. I don't know if you heard that out there. It's really, really fuzzy, like really, really poorly tuned in radio station. Don't know what that is. We'll have to sort that out. We'll look into that. Okay, so apparently there's a poll. Hopefully there's a poll. And it was just about Greenland. I just said, do you think Trump's right about Greenland? It seems to... Oh, there you go. Harry's just brought it up on my screen. The question was simply the wording, because the wording on any sort of thing is really matters. Oh, can you bring it up again, Harry? It was there. Now it's gone away again. Okay. Is Trump doing the right thing with Greenland? And it's come back, you guys, the glorious band, The Chosen Few, the wonderful audience of Breakfast with Bo, say that 70% of you say Trump is right, and 30% say no. So although that is, right, an overwhelming win for yes, it's not like unanimous, it's not close to unanimous, is it? 30%. Is a decent chunk of you, decent chunk of people that say no. Like if it was 90%, like, you know, 90%+, I would say, you know, a general consensus. At that point, you could say most people, or audience members of the Bo Show, most of you think that. But when it's 30%, fair enough. But 70% of you, maybe it's skewed because a lot of the audience here is like... US, not that all US people are going to be of one mind about Trump and Greenland, but nonetheless, I think like a third of the audience on this show is US people. Although I think that's after the fact as well, because it's still very early in the morning, isn't it, in the US? Still very, very, very early in the morning on the East Coast, and it's the middle of the night. It was last night even still on the West Coast. So anyway, that's interesting, 70%. I thought it might be closer than that. I thought it might be, you know, knocking 50-50, in and around 50-50, 60-40. But no, okay, 70-30, all right. At least my take, my general take of Denmark, do a deal. It's in your interest, it's in everyone's interest, isn't it? At least that's not completely off the mark. And 98% of you hate that view and disagree with that view. All right. Okay. Pardon me. Let's carry on. Police wanted Letby to face 11 further charges. Yeah, and the CPS have said no. So if the police think there's 11 extra charges on top of everything else, I don't know. Okay, the Eye paper. RAF and Navy, I guess Royal Navy, in talks to join NATO force in Arctic. Yeah, because if you remember yesterday, we'd sent one guy, Britain, sent one guy to Greenland in that sort of NATO, nominally NATO effort. to send troops and do exercises in Greenland. We sent one guy. Maybe we're going to send more stuff now, RAF and Navy, all against Trump's wishes and the State Department's wishes, of course. Surveillance units from UK military could join a tripwire, that's a quote, a tripwire, quote, of troops stationed in Greenland. Don't really know what they mean by a tripwire. I've never really heard that particularly in sort of military parlance. A tripwire of troops. Is that new? I don't know. Okay. NATO allies shore up security to reassure sceptical Donald Trump that Europe can defend itself. Defend itself against who exactly? Russia, is it again? Is it all about that? I just don't think Putin and Russia is a military threat to most of Europe, the vast majority of Europe. Yeah, that's an extremely old-fashioned view, a Cold War view. That, like, you know, Stalin or Khrushchev has got massed tank divisions on the border of East and West Germany. And it's just a matter of time till those armoured divisions, dozens, maybe hundreds of armoured Soviet tank divisions, bounce into the plains of West Germany. And everyone, all of Europe and America, will have to fight a World War III in the plains of West Germany because the Soviets plan to get all the way to the Channel and maybe beyond. It's a million miles away from what Putin is doing or thinking or capable of, even. We don't live in that world. Okay. The IR paper understands Arctic development, Arctic deployment could include sea and air reconnaissance units, including Boeing P-8 Poseidon maritime aircraft used by RAF to monitor Russia's shadow fleet. Yeah, that Poseidon is sort of a cutting edge aeroplane thing. I'm very interested in military and civil aviation on the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, on the website, lotuseaters.com, on my channel, on my show, Epochs, Bodade's Epochs. I've got a bit of content there where I talk about the history of military and civil aviation in conversation with Tim Davies, RAF squadron leader, retired Tim Davies, who knows his onions, knows a thing or two about aircraft, military aircraft, actually flew fast jets for a living. So anyway, fascinated by them. Let me just carry on with the news. That P-8 Poseidon aircraft is sort of a cutting-edge thing, and we may be sending, according to this report, we may be sending it there. Only Norway, Germany, and the UK have P-8 Poseidon planes designed for anti-submarine warfare. I mean, what? We, Germany and Britain, we're going to start tracking and doing exercises against, and maybe looking to actually do hot operations against US submarines. It's all nonsense, isn't it? It's not, none of that's going to happen. It's not about, it's all a bit of a storm in a teacup, isn't it, really, I think. And the paper, but the papers love it, don't they? They've got to sell their papers, so they love it. But whether NATO's going to, like, actually, you know, go to war with itself, or the European NATO countries against the US over Greenland. So right, I think we can all agree that's not going to happen. It seems to me that's a very, 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 very crazily unlikely event. No one's really talking about that or even realistically suggesting it's going to happen. That's not going to happen, right? So then it begs the question, why is, like, Germany, France, Britain, Finland, whatever, sending hardware to Greenland and doing exercises there? You've got no intention, you're not going to war with the Pentagon, are you? So what are you doing? It's just all performative, virtue signally, we hate the Donald crap. Like, get over that and do a deal with him. All right, we'll move on. The Metro. You're a scum, sir. Yes, sir, you, sir. Scum. Right, the Metro. Online rant stuns world. Not really. They're talking about Trump's... Truth Social post from, like, over a day ago, or 2 days ago, is it now? They're only just getting around to it. The one where he said about the Chagos Islands and the British government is stupid, all that sort of thing. Online rant, not a rant, it's a pretty reasonable statement, stuns world. Not really. Only if you're a hand-wringing, pearl-clutching TDS victim. The Metro. if you ever got a metro, anyone out there in the London area, you'll know, then you'll know exactly what I'm saying, exactly what I mean. It's really, really thin for a start. There's barely anything to it. And it's just classic globalist, multicultural, race communist, TDS, ball plop. Every single day, without fail. The angle of everything they do and say. It's the worst, it's the pits. All right, the Tory graph, Daily Telegraph. Fix your country, Trump tells Starmer. Yeah, he's right, right, yeah. Yeah, Starmer, fix our country. He's got no intention of doing any such thing, has he? There's a picture of Wills, the Prince of Wales, who will be king one day. Assuming he outlives his father, which he should. There's no reason why he shouldn't. I don't know why I went there with that. He will be king one day. The man who would be king. William there, looking happy with a pint. All right. MPs demand review of Letby convictions as cases closed. So, yeah, that's to say, it's some serious people have got proper concerns about the Letby conviction. Even MPs. All right, I'll move on from that because I really don't know enough. When it's quite a serious thing like that, like loads of babies died, right? It's really serious. It's the furthest thing from flippant. It's the furthest thing from something I want to give a proper take on without knowing, admitting to myself, I don't know enough about it. So we'll just move on from that. Okay. The Daily Express. Oh, it's a good paper. The Express. What we got? Oh, Kemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman who leads the Conservative Party, has said, PM is out of his depth in New World Order. You're out of your depth, love. You're way out of your depth. Struggling to keep your head above the water. Way, way, way out of her depth. Although she's not wrong on that. Starmer too is out of his depth. It's funny. The three biggest leaders in our political system, the Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer, Olukemi Badenoch, and Edward Davey, the leader of the Lib Dems. All three of those people are terribly out of their depth. Aren't they? Aren't they? All three of them. For Kemi to say to Starmer, you're out of your depth, that's actually funny to me. She's actually more out of her depth than he is, even though he is. I think she's more so, in my opinion. And they're not serious people. They're not statesmen, are they? They're not great intellects. They're not experts or masters in anything. They're joke people. Ed Davey, the most, is a real joke of a man. Right, and as a political mind, their political acumen, their razor sharp political nous. All three of those people have never shown any of that, any whatsoever. But there you go, Kemi, Tory leader Kemi Badenoch, Olukemi Badenoch says Trump, quote, is dead right, quote, over Al Chagos surrender. Yeah, she's not wrong there. She's not wrong there. Yeah, got to give her that. But I mean, when you're in opposition, it's usually the case that you just disagree with the government at every turn. Not every turn, of course. If they're just sort of obviously slam dunk morally and ethically correct on something, or the government happens to say something that's one of your keystone policies, then you agree. But if it's anything that's a bit shaky, you try and find any crack in the government's argument, in the government's position, don't you? And if it's something you genuinely disagree with or think you can get a win on, then you will. So the Chagos Islands, you know, for a conservative, it should be a slam dunk argument to be able to make. You were dead wrong on that. Yeah, and that the president is dead right on it. Now, don't be too proud, I think, to agree with people that you don't like and most of the time disagree with. Right. For example, I was happy when Maduro was captured, or happy-ish. It could still destabilize Venezuela, but that just so happens to line me up with people that I really, really don't like, and I'm not comfortable agreeing with. But that's the way it is. Right, so I agree that Trump is dead right about the Chagos Islands, and that lines me up, that puts me in bed politically with Kemi Badenoch. Well, so be it. I don't like Kemi Badenoch. I hate her, pretty much hate her. I think she's, you know, fifth columnist, whatever, all those things. She was a traitor. She was in government, wasn't she, for a big chunk of those 14 years. She's a big part of the problem. But I agree with her on that. Never be too proud to do that. Don't cut your nose off to spite your face. All right, let's keep moving on. The Daily Star, what slop have they given us? Oh, there's Bex. It's just Bex. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to spend any time on it. The Daily Mail, most of the front page about the Beckhams. Although, now the other bit is MI5 warning to kowtow Kiir. As PM gives China go-ahead for super embassy, security service says it can't eliminate the risks. Again, it's quite mixed messages, isn't it? One of the earlier headlines was saying, well, we're just going to move the thing, so it should be all right. The risk will be mitigated because we're just going to move the thing. Don't worry about it. We're all good, bro. But there it says, we can't eliminate the risks. Keir Starmer doesn't care what MI5 says on this. He obviously doesn't care. He's had months and months and months, well, his whole time in office, really, to ponder it and think about it and come to a measured decision and all that stuff. He's just decided to do it. So why he would care at this stage that MI5 are going, oh, actually, there is still a bit of a risk, though. He doesn't care. He obviously doesn't. The Sun, the Becklums, Beck's lies and videotape. Sex lies and videotape. Beck's lies and videotape. How funny. Oh, how funny the Sun is. What wordsmiths they are. Okay. Let's go with the actual websites then. BBC Verifier. Like the BBC trying to remind you they're the arbiters of all truth. Verifier. We always tell the truth in everything we say and report, but also there's this other extra layer of verification we do for you on your behalf. BBC, don't trust them. Do you not trust them the vast majority of the time? Photos leaked to BBC show faces of hundreds killed in Iran's brutal protest crackdown. Right, does it? It's another thing, actually, interesting to say, I think. What the news omits on any given day is interesting, isn't it? Isn't it? Remember, it wasn't that long ago, well, basically a week ago, this time last week, maybe more towards the beginning of last week, it was wall-to-wall Iran, wasn't it? Everything's going off in Iran. All the thousands of killings in Iran. It's like the worst thing since 1979 as far as the Ayatollah's regime is concerned. You know, on and on and on, wall to wall. And now just not a dicky bird, basically. I mean, that's a story there. But, you know, on the front pages and even on the websites last couple of days, if you remember, we had a look at them in reasonable detail, didn't we? Hardly anything, basically nothing about Iran. Just gone quiet about that now. The editors and all the powers that be have decided it's not interesting now. There's nothing to see here, nothing to talk about, in essence. You know, it's pretty evil the way the legacy corporate mainstream media operate, how they conduct themselves. How clear it is, really, that the whole thing, all of it, is agenda-driven. Because right? It's not in their interest now, because it looks like those protests aren't going to... Well, they're not going to result in the imminent collapse of the mullahs and the Ayatollah's regime in the Islamic Republic of Iran. So, that's not in line with the angle, the take that the corporate mainstream media was taking. It's basically an embarrassment. What they were sort of saying was going to happen is not going to happen. That's slightly embarrassing to them. So that's it. So just don't talk about it anymore. Yeah? It's like when there's a murder, like a really bad murder, and they think it was done by an evil white man. Turns out it was done by a brown person. So they just never talk about it again. How many times have we seen that? How many times have we had that? A few times. I remember the Damilola Taylor case. If anyone out there is British, old enough, will remember. There was a little black boy who'd come over from Africa, Damilola Taylor, and he got stabbed to death. Sadly, of course, sadly. He was only little. He was, I don't know, what is he, 10, 12, maybe 13? I don't know. He was a kid. and he got stabbed in the leg in like a stairwell somewhere. And they thought it was the powers that be, the BBC, the mainstream media, assumed it had been a racist killing by some white boys. And so his name was plastered all over the place, all the time, for years. It was like, damn, all over the time. Because they didn't catch the killers for quite a few years. And it was like Stephen Lawrence. His, like, the name Damilola Taylor was like Stephen Lawrence. It was in the headlines all the time. Damilola Taylor was sort of shorthand for racism, racist violence and stuff. Finally, they caught the killers. It was two brown boys. Never hear a peep about Damilola Taylor ever again. Literally never, ever. His name will never, ever come up again. That's what we're dealing with, right? Iran. Iran, it's war-to-war Iran. We're going to have regime change. Oh, it's not going to happen. Stop it. Don't talk about it. Nothing done. Not a word. Bit cynical. That's being kind, isn't it? That it's a bit cynical to behave like that. That the argument that you're simply reporting what's going on in the world, like objectively, fair-handedly, fair-mindedly, it's not what's going on, is it? It's obviously not what's going on. These people. Right. Trump doubles down on Greenland ahead of Davos visit. Says there is no going back. Yeah, that was the thing that Donald said. And people say, you know, are you going to, you know, you should U-turn. It's the right thing to do. Denmark, NATO, the European countries are all. And Trump's just like, no, there's no going back. No, I'm committed to this. Do a deal, Denmark. Do a deal. An opinion piece from the BBC says Trump is shaking the world order more than any president since World War II. I don't know about that. I mean, Nixon and LBJ shook the world a bit. I would say more than Donald Trump. I don't know. Is it? It's an interesting thing to say. It's quite a statement to say that. Shaking the world order more than any president since World War II. I mean, Ike made some big moves back in the 50s. I think we used to, I think people of my generation and younger, and maybe a little bit older than me in my mid-40s and younger, we're used to a world that's pretty, in the West anyway, that's pretty placid, it's been pretty placid. Some historians have called it the Long Peace since 1945, the Long Peace. We're used to a world. You know, I was born and raised, and all my formative years are in the 1980s and 90s. Right? We're used to a world where there aren't big seismic changes. We're used to, our whole experience is the Cold War petering out and coming to an end. Nothing more than that. Nothing more seismic than that. Well, most of history is much more turbulent. Most of, nearly all of the time. To have a long peace that lasts like 70 odd years, knocking 80 years, whatever it is. That's actually quite unusual in the sweep of history. So I think we're just not, a lot of people, and not sort of used to bigger moves going off all over the place. But that is more the norm. And the waters are, you know, not going to be quite as tranquil as they were in the 1990s, let's say. I think there was a particularly low ebb in human history for drama. Sort of the 1980s, 1990s, early 2000s. I think we're just moving out of those remarkably calm waters. That's all, really. It's not that Trump's more like the norm. A president who acts like Trump is more the norm than not, I think. Leaders that act like Putin or Xi, that's more the norm. Again, throughout the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, the leaders of Russia and China was sort of very quiet, really, in the scheme of things. It's not that they didn't do anything, but you know, in the scheme of things, it was pretty dialed down. Well, we're just moving out of that phase. That's all it is. That's all it is. Don't worry. Don't worry too much. It's not... Like people say, there was one chat. Where was it? I saw it. Someone put a chat right at the beginning of the show before we'd even started. Can you quickly get the super chats up, Harry? Someone said... Yeah, Principled Uncertainty, who I like and follows me on Twitter and stuff, he's a good guy. He said, it's time to accept reality. The Emperor has gone mental. Curtis was right. It's time to dig a bunker and pretend it was all a lark. Yeah, I'd say no, don't. The Emperor hasn't gone mental. It's more normal, if anything. Like the idea that Curtis Yarvin, anyway, I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. That it's time, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. It's time to get in the Anderson shelters. It's time to build a bunker and give up on the world. It's all done for. No. You've lost perspective. You've lost perspective. We've been in extremely calm waters, and now there's a little bit of a ripple. That's all that's going on. Little bit of a ripple. Trump talking big about Greenland. Calm down. It's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. I would say, that's my opinion. I don't know. Right. Driver killed in Spain train crash days after high-speed collision. Yeah, so apparently there's been another train crash in Spain. Not quite as deadly this time, but still people have died. So a second, you know, big train crash in Spain, where at least the driver was killed. UK homes to get £11 billion for solar and green tech to cut energy bills. Yeah, they want everyone to have solar panels on their roofs, don't they? If you live in a house, that is. Driving test cheating soars as candidates turn to Bluetooth headsets and impersonators. What? How does that make any sense? How can you... I don't care. Okay, move on from that. And then the Beckhams. So they're moving into slop. So we shall move on. All right, what's the ITV news saying? Oh, it's nearly 1:45. Let's get on. Let's whip through these a bit. Trump says, you'll find out about Greenland. People saying, what are your plans then? Okay, if you must have it, if you're insisting that you must have it, what are your actual plans? What are you going to do then? And he's just like, you'll find out. Again, if it is military intervention anyway, he's not going to tell them. Because obviously you're not going to, it's obvious. Said that a number of times, whenever he's going to do something military and people ask him. It's like, don't ask me that. Obviously I'm not going to tell you the actual military operations, like the order of battle. I'm not going to tell you that. Give me a break. All right, let's whip through a bit because I'd like to get to some science news. We got some feedback yesterday where people said they were interested to see a bit of science news or space news even. So let's see if we can get to that. Sky News. Let's just move on. Oh yeah, Daily Mail. Look at the state of the Daily Mail. Beckham. Beckham. A Beckham story. A second, a third, a fourth Beckham story. Trump heads for Davos after Air Force One electrical fault drama and issues new Greenland threat. Yeah, so that's a little bit of a story that is Air Force One plane had some sort of issue on its way flying to Switzerland and it had to turn back. I'm pretty sure there's two Air Force One planes, like two identical ones, like a backup one, a contingency one. So when you see Air Force One, there's two more or less identical ones of those. He had to turn back and get in the other one. It's not much of a story, is it? It's not a big deal, really. But I've seen a few headlines, more than one headline all about that. There you go, The Express, lead with Beckham. The Sun leads with Beckham. There was one story in here, wasn't there, if I scroll down a bit. There's one story I saw in The Sun that I thought was interesting. Let's see if I can find it. Well, Zoe Ball's got a new boyfriend. Someone set a statue of Cristiano Ronaldo alight. Oh, yeah, Begum. Yeah. I'm one of those people who thinks that Shamina Begum, it's right that Shamina Begum was stripped of her citizenship and then it went all the way to the highest court in the land for her appeal, which she then lost. So I think that's good. I think that's right. I don't want somebody like her. I don't want an Islamist, reformed or otherwise, in my country. And I don't believe the thing that she was groomed against her will to leave the country when she was 15. She was just a kid. She didn't know what she was doing. She was manipulated into it. One, I don't think that's the case. I really don't think that's the case. And two, at 15, you don't know the difference between right and wrong. Like at 15, you don't know, because it was already known that ISIS, you know, like behead people, set people on fire in a cage, all that sort of thing. And at 15, she didn't know. She couldn't understand what was right. Anyway, I don't believe it. She did loads of terrible things, didn't she? She showed little to no remorse that her babies had died. There's reports that she'd sewn explosives into vests on behalf of ISIS fighters. She was part of the morality police within the ISIS regime. No. She said, or was it like the Manchester Arena bomb? She expressed sympathy for the attacker. Of the Manchester Arena bomb. She's a real scumbag. Why on earth people would argue to have her back? Why on earth? Some sort of thing like Peter Hitchens, a Christian angle, forgiveness, we must forgive them. No, I'm not forgiving her. No, I'm not forgiving her. No, never. An absurd take. All right. The New York Slimes. Trump heads to Davos amid deep worries about US-European alliance. There you go. Trump says, you'll find out how far we'll go on Greenland. Air Force One turns back. Has France's president finally lost his personal touch with Trump? He never had a personal touch with Trump. Like Trump were ever warmed to Macron and was like a good buddy with Macron. As if. Never. All right, let's have a look at this. With just a few minutes left, let's see if we can get some science news and or space news. Okay, news from space. Noble, this Australian cow has learned to use tools. An Australian cow has learned to use tools. Has it? With its hoofs. NASA ends support for Planetary Science Advisory Group. That's a shame, but NASA funding does seem to, you know, get smaller and smaller over the years. I wish they still had a shuttle program or a newer, updated version of the shuttle in some way. Because to get to the International Space Station or anything like that, you have to go up. The Russians have to send you on like a Soyuz capsule, or the Chinese. Right? The Americans, NASA, haven't got a proper delivery service to get to and from the space station. Not that Britain has. Britain hasn't even got any sort of space station. Boris wanted to build one, didn't he, in Cornwall? There was talk of it. There was plans of it. And then Whitehall, or the subsequent government, said, we're not going to do that. But we're part of ESA, aren't we? The European Space Agency. Britain is actually quite good. That's one of the things. We don't make steel anymore or get coal out of the ground or manufacture many things. But one of the things Britain does do is like super, super high-end technology and manufacturing. You know, like stuff for space, for example, stuff like that. Aerospace, cutting-edge aerospace stuff. We actually do that quite well, sort of world leader in some ways. Sometimes, British companies that like build or help build components for satellites and stuff like that. So, I wish NASA did have like a modern shuttle equivalent program. It's a real shame they don't. I wonder if they ever will. You can blame Obama for cutting that. I blame Obama. He gave him hell. It's Big Mike's birthday the other day. See that? NASA is making last-ditch attempt to contact tumbling Mars orbiter. Yeah, that's a shame. It was one of the Mars orbiters. People might have heard of the MRO, the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. But there's actually quite a few various orbiters around Mars. And that one, what one was it? I can't remember exactly which one was it. But it's been tumbling. It was coming to the end of its life anyway. MAVEN, that was it. The MAVEN Mars Orbiter. It's been up there for 12 years. Not a bad innings. I think it was about the time they expected it to die anyway, I think. Or maybe it even done slightly better than expected. Getting 12 years out of an orbiter, not too bad. Might hope for more. Sometimes, it's funny about spacecraft, various things, probes and orbiters and landers even. Sometimes they like die straight away, more or less, for whatever reason. Sometimes they last way longer than NASA or ESA would hope. Occasionally they do. Like the Voyager probes going way out beyond the solar system. Still alive, occasionally sending back data. We sent them out in the 70s, the 1970s, and they're still working. Pardon me. All right, so yeah, unfortunately MAVEN started tumbling. And it's gone, basically. It's almost certainly just dead. It's gone. Shame. Shame. What can you do? There's no rescue mission possible for that. You can't fix it like Hubble that time. Do you remember that? Hubble in the 90s had to fix it. I've actually had to fix Hubble, in inverted commas, fix. More than once. I think there's been two or even three missions to do that. All right, just space news then. Starlab, the power of scale. Designed to scale human presence, science and industry in space. Starlab. Cool. Yeah, cool. I can't wait for Artemis 2. Well, can't wait for Artemis 3 when humans go back to the moon, hopefully this year or next year. And I hope they'll be able to sort of, in various ways, sort of prove it beyond any doubt, sort of be able to have sort of an overwhelming level of proof that it's real. It's not a psyop. It's not just all done on a set in Hollywood or something, you know, that it's all just a bit of desert. It's just like the Mojave Desert at night, and they've played around with camera settings to make it look like the moon. I really do hope they'll be able to sort of illustrate that it's 100% definitely real, and it will put to bed the naysayers, the people that say, like, you can't go to the moon, that we're not going to the moon, that's all a liar. We'll see. Well, hopefully. All right. Defence Appropriations Bill for 2026 funds Space Force at $26 billion. Presses Pentagon on Golden Dome. Yeah, so there's the US actually has Space Force, doesn't it? Like, it's a whole extra arm of the military, essentially, right? So they've got the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marine Corps, but the Coast Guard, and Space Force. $26 billion. Now, to an Englishman or anyone else in the world, that sounds like a fantastic amount of money, right? Like, James Webb only cost $9 or $10 billion. That's like a 20-year project, one of the greatest things. Well, it is the greatest tool mankind has ever produced. That only cost in the order of $9 to $10 billion over 20 years. So getting $26 billion a year for that year's budget, I think that's what it is, seems like a fantastic amount of money. Well, it is, obviously, a fantastic amount of money. But is it a great deal in the scheme of what Space Force is, what they try to achieve, i.e. complete full-spectrum dominance of space? I don't know. It's interesting. All right, we're getting towards the top of the hour. I did have a conversation with the editors and even Mr. Carl Benjamin yesterday, saying, don't have to stop at the stroke of nine. So I'm not going to be constrained to do that, to try and wrap everything up, get all my timing so that on the stroke of nine or 1 minute past nine, everything's wrapped up. That's a self-imposed arbitrary thing. So, but I won't go much past nine. Unless it's a day where I've got tons and tons to say and there's loads and loads of absolutely fascinating news which must be discussed in depth, in which case I will. But so today I'll start wrapping it up, but no need to worry about finishing bang on the stroke of nine. All right, what's the last tab we've got? Oh, yeah, on this day. All right, let's do a little 5 minutes because people like this. That was the other bit of feedback we got yesterday, that a lot of people were saying they liked this day in history segment at the end of the show, and I really like it. Gives me a chance to show off, doesn't it? That's what it's all about, isn't it? Showing off. Anyone that's a content creator, you're just showing off. That was the thing I was told when I was raised. That's one of the worst things you can do. Stop showing off. All right, on this day in history, 21st of January, in the year 1525, Swiss Anabaptist movement is born, when a bunch of people whose names I won't bother reading out, and a dozen others, baptise each other in the name of one of their mothers in Zurich, breaking a 1,000-year tradition of church-state union. Yeah, the Anabaptists, very sort of interesting sect of, breakaway sect of Protestantism, the Anabaptists. Anabaptism means sort of re-baptism. One of their many ideas. They're like Puritans. They're like the purest of the pure Puritans, almost. It's not exactly right. People that know their history really well will say that's very low resolution to say that. But anyway, they're certainly Protestants. They're certainly not Catholics. Their idea was that if you baptise a baby, that's not sort of righteous because the baby had no choice. You've got to be an adult with a reasonable, rational mind and know exactly what you're doing before you can accept the word, before you can accept sort of the light of Jesus Christ into your soul. So there's something wrong with baptising babies. It's not like, wait till they know about the Gospels and everything before, and then let that person of their own free volition get baptised, and then it's all good, then it's square, then heaven's happy. So Anabaptism is like re-baptism. Like, you know, adult baptism is a thing to this day, isn't it? Of course, in the 16th century, that didn't go down very well with the Catholic Church. The popes were not fans of Anabaptists. in fact, in Catholic-controlled areas, they'd try and round up and kill all the Anabaptists if they could. There's a great story about Munster, the city of Munster in modern-day Germany, where the Anabaptists took it over and the Catholics besieged it. The Prince Bishop, the Catholic Prince Bishop of Munster, besieged his own town, which had been seized and captured and controlled by the rebel heretic Anabaptists. Brilliant story. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant story. Dan Carlin's got a great podcast on that. Prophets of Doom, one of the early Dan Carlin ones. One of my favourite podcasts of all time. It's long form, for 4 hours. Brilliant, brilliant story. Okay. Quite often, the execution for Anabaptists was drowning. And so the Catholics, or even other Protestant sects who were at odds with them, would say, that's your third baptism. Your first baptism when you was a little baby, which you didn't recognise. Your second adult baptism when you became an Anabaptist. And your third one when we execute you. You want to be baptised? How about that? Okay, let's move on. On this day in history, in 1789, the first American novel, William Hill Brown's The Power of Sympathy, is published by Isaiah Thomas. I must admit, I've not read that, The Power of Sympathy. I don't even know about it, so can't say much about that. I'm sorry. If there's any William Hill Brown fans out there, I can only apologise. In 1793, Louis XVI of France is executed by guillotine in Paris following his conviction for high treason by the newly created French Parliament, the Convention Nationale, during the French Revolution. Yeah, there's lots to say. I've made content all about the French Revolution, one or two early epochs, all about it. If you remember, not too long ago, a few days ago, we did a thing, it came up on this day in history that he was convicted. Well, they cut his head off pretty quickly, didn't they? Within a couple of days, they locked his head off. They had him under arrest, really. There's this story about, a very famous, important story in the life of Louis XVI, where they had him under arrest. And even most of the real, real hardliners weren't particularly arguing for his execution. Some were. But it looked unlikely that they were going to, earlier in the 1790s, because it all kicked off big time in 1789, didn't it? So in those intervening years, they just had him essentially under arrest, and only the hardest line people were calling for his execution, and it didn't look like they were going to execute him. But then he tried to escape. Well, he pretended he was sort of on side with their cause, basically. But then he tried to escape. And obviously, the story is that if he had have escaped, he would have then become the figurehead, or if not the leaders, of armies, various sort of foreign armies, or even French exiled aristocrats and armies would be led into France to try and defeat the revolutionaries. So when, after he tried to escape, which he failed to, he nearly got away, really nearly got away, but he failed. They brought him back to Paris, and they were like, right, we've got to execute you. Whilst you're alive, you're a proper problem. We can't have you breathing anymore because you will always be sort of a lightning rod for our enemies. So off with your head, I'm afraid, Louis. In 1452, Nehru's Congress Party wins India's first general election. Yeah, it was a big moment. In 1968, the Battle of Khaisan begins at the Khaisan Air Base, one of the most publicised and controversial battles of the Vietnam War. Yeah, very interesting one. I'm also fascinated by Vietnam. It's one of the things when I was young, or a teenager, started my fascination with history. Vietnam, so yeah, Khaisan was a big one. That's one of those ones where... classic sort of Vietnam, when it came to any sort of set piece battle, when the North Vietnamese, Viet Minh, showed up in any real force and tried to take on the US forces in an actual battle, they get their asses absolutely handed to them. That's one of the things the Americans have always done very, very well, particularly in the second half of the 20th century, by 1968. On the actual battlefield, if you try and go toe-to-toe with them, you will lose. You will be outgunned and outfought, outgeneraled. But of course, that's not what a lot of Vietnam was about, was it? It was about search and destroy missions going into the jungle and getting ambushed. But yeah, Khaisan, the biggest battle, basically the biggest battle. Yeah, the US Air Force base at Khe Sanh. The North Vietnamese tried to attack it. Got whooped. They got whooplard. All right, okay, let's start rounding out. Let's have a look at the Rumble Rants and the Super Chats. Okay, on the Rumble Rants, Cater is Peribus says, $100 million, 1946 dollars, is $1.9 billion in 2026 dollars. Okay, I can't remember. Why was I talking about $100 million in 1946? I can't remember, I'm sorry. But yeah, that's inflation for you, isn't it? That's inflation for you. Same person says, Harry Truman tried to buy Greenland. Oh, sorry, you've explained yourself there, sorry. Harry Truman tried to buy Greenland for $100 million in gold in 1946. Sorry, okay, that will make sense now. So at those prices, I wonder if Trump offers the Denmark $2 billion. Is that a fair price? Is that a good deal? It's probably quite cheap. I think Denmark could probably ask for more than that. You know, if America's prepared to spend $26 billion a year on Space Force, they could spare more than $2 billion for Greenland. You know, Greenland could, if they do a deal, they could ask for and, like, reasonably get quite a few billion. I mean, it's a massive bit of land, Greenland. It's mostly glacier, isn't it? But who knows the resources under there? God knows. Who knows? Fantastic riches, potentially. And just for strategic purpose. It's worth more than a low number of billions. Right, if Elon bought Twitter for, what was it, $44 billion? Surely Greenland's worth as much as Twitter? Well, not surely. I don't know. Maybe not. What do you think? Okay. Exile29 says, the cables argument with the Chinese embassy is a red herring. An embassy that size gives them the ability to scale up intelligence activity in the UK. Should be stopped on principle. Fair point. Good point. Yeah. Right. No, good point. I agree with you. I said in an earlier Bow Show, what was it, last week or even in the first week of the Bow Show, I said, I wouldn't have sold them the land at all. I wouldn't have let them buy that real estate at all. Let alone the ability to renovate the premises however they like, including underground rooms that they want to build and then grey out on the blueprints. Yeah, I wouldn't let them. The Chinese come to, I'm Prime Minister, and the Chinese ambassador or the Chinese government let me know that they want to buy that. I'd be like, no, are you kidding me? Of course not. Of course not. It's the Royal Mint. In fact, thanks for reminding me. We're going to turn it into a museum. The entire Royal Mint complex and more. No, you can't have that. Yeah, he's right. On general principle. Yeah, do I want dozens, hundreds, maybe thousands? Well, it will be thousands, actually. I think it'll be thousands of Chinese embassy workers. Diplomats, in inverted commas, in London. No. No, it's all spy games. It's all espionage. And counter-espionage. Don't want them. Ugh. Get out of my country. All right. YouTube Super Chats. I read that one by Principled Uncertainty about that the world has gone, like, reality, the Emperor has gone mad. What's the next one? He's in the Silence says, My islander just reached Adelaide. Oh, okay. Hopefully English nationalists don't get proscribed as a hate group, so it won't be my last. Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully the Home Office doesn't just say, like, New Culture Forum and Lotus Eaters, you're just domestic terrorists now and you're done. That's the end of the story. Fingers crossed. You never know, do you? Right. Paul Joseph Watson goes off to Gitmo Bay in an orange jumpsuit. Let's hope not. Yeah, I shouldn't laugh at it. It's not funny, is it? Luke Stewart 6155 says, G'day, Bo. Quite enjoy your 6 p.m. hour news segment since to hear what's going on in the world. We're dealing with a shark attack down south and a crocodile attack up north. And we had a dingo attack. So obviously an Aussie there. How good. That's a shame. Yeah, that's the thing the Brits always say about the Aussies, isn't it? That you've got, like, dangerous wildlife there. sharks, gators, dingoes, extremely poisonous spiders and snakes and stuff. We got nothing here. And that's why the Aussies think we're just like whinging poms. We're just like wusses. We're wusses compared to Aussies. Like, there's hardly anything dangerous in Britain. Like an adder, the worst snake we've got is an adder. And they're very, very, very rare anyway. Very, very rare. No big, properly dangerous spiders, nothing like that. No wildlife other than the Beast of Bodmin. There's no like actual big predators in the wild. Like a badger or a fox is the worst you'll get. Or a deer might, a male deer might try and like run at you. It's a bit worrying, isn't it? But beyond that, and that would be super rare. Deers are mostly skittish, aren't they? So, there's no real dangerous wildlife in Britain. Where you go down under, you've got funnel webs in the corner of the room. You have to check your shoes in case there's a lethally dangerous spider in your shoe. Don't ever paddle in the sea. Great white will have you. Don't go paddling in the creek. A croc could get you. Okay. Next one. Reverend Norse says, it is a matter of perspective, but from a US perspective, a greater good of the West perspective, it is right. I guess he's talking about the Greenland thing. The EU refused to see China as an enemy. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah, it's weird. Why do they refuse to see? Their own intelligence services tell them they are. Anyone with an ounce of sense can see they are. So why are they pretending they're not? Good point. Yeah, fair enough. Hex1986 says, Canada and France bend to China. US is the bastion. Can't disagree with you. Can't disagree with you. It's a statement of fact, isn't it? Not at this point. Yeah. Reverend Norse again says, I prefer Denmark and Europe keeping it and keeping China out. I prefer Denmark and Europe keeping it and keeping China out. Right, okay. They simply refuse to. Yeah, it seems like they are. It seems like they refuse to. I don't know if Denmark's got the budget to keep China out of Greenland. If it wanted to, it hasn't got the budget. It's not a big enough country. It's not big enough, populousness enough and rich enough for that task. And again, that's not a dig at Denmark. I'm not trying to dig out Denmark here. Isn't it just not a matter of reality? Even if they went on, you know, even if they went on 100% total war footing, total economy, everything geared, every person in the country straining to make a big enough navy, military navy, it would, it still wouldn't be enough, would it? I don't think. Denmark's not very big. All right, there you go. Yeah, he says they simply refuse to. I've been to the US. I would not tolerate China and Greenland either. Oh, sorry. Had I been the US, I would not tolerate China on Greenland either. Yeah, if you look at it from their point of view, like I said the other day, you look at it from Hegseth's point of view. So why are we putting up with this, Denmark? You're our closest ally, are you? So you've got to do something about, somebody's got to do something about this. And you're not going to, are you? All right. Jacob Wolf 6288 doesn't say anything, but just sends $10. Thank you for that. Same person does say something. Sorry, my thing's just glitched out. Bear with me 2 seconds. Okay, Jacob Wolf then sends another $10 and says, genuine question, is it wise for the US to declare martial law over the Minnesota issue within the week? Or is it more wise to wait until after the midterms? Interesting question, fair question. I don't know the answer to that. I could just give you my opinion. I would say don't worry about the midterms too much. If law and order is at stake, you can't just sort of wait, really. It's not like that Chad. Do you remember Chad or the Chaz enclave was it in Portland? It was in Oregon or the Washington State. I can't remember. You remember Chaz, though. Now, that seemed like more like a situation where it was okay for Trump to just sort of sit back, fold his arms. It's like, go on then, let's watch it play out. Yeah, I could send in the National Guard. I could send in hundreds of thousands of riot police and start thumping some skulls. But do you know what? let's just watch it sort of self-implode. I don't think the ice situation in Minnesota is really that. I feel like you've got to get, my personal opinion again, kind of got to get a handle on it right away, straight away. You can't just wait for the midterms. That would be my feeling. But I don't know. Who knows? Your question is a good question. And there's no necessarily right or wrong answer to it. It's just whatever you would feel. But there we go. Okay. Sketch Therapy 1218 says, NATO can't militarily defend itself from immigration and infiltration. Why trust you? UK will be the first Muslim nuclear power in NATO, but not the last. So Jukes 149 says, driving test cheating will lead to highway deaths. Yeah, probably will, yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. That's sort of third worlders for you, largely. Don't care. I just don't care about that sort of thing. Daniel Zabocca says, I want another 40k carnival thingy of Trump. With Macroni being Horus or something funny. Also, I can't wait for Island of Fire. The first four were a jolly to read. Oh, thank you. Yeah, good. Luke Stewart 6164 says, please read Super Chat and SpaceX doing it now. Okay. Okay. Jack White 5073. I wonder if it's the Jack White from the White Stripes. I doubt it. For $20 though, thank you. Says, my first time super chatting. I have some book club recommendations: Clinton Cash, Partners in Power, The Secret Life of Bill Clinton, Myth of the Robber Barons, The Grey Lady Winked, Confessions of a Tax Collector. Oh, interesting. Thanks. Yeah. Okay. I've heard of, I'm aware of one or two of those books. Maybe I'll do a bit of content one day about. Maybe if and when Bill and or Hillary pass away, a look back at particularly Bill's life, all of his life, and some of the allegations that have swirled around him for most of his life, not just the Epstein stuff, all sorts of other stuff, not just the Monica Lewinsky scandal, all sorts of other stuff about Bill Clinton. He's dodgy as hell. Alright, Jack White 5073 again says, plus some series to cover for Lads Hour, Dragon Ball, Yu Yu Hakusho, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, Fate Stay Night, Unlimited Blade Works, Black Cover. I don't know most of those, I must say. I don't know most of those. Sounds like a lot of sort of Japanese stuff, I'm afraid. Principal Uncertainty again said, big love, Bo. Any chance Potley can have Yudkowsky or Sorries on to discuss ASI Doom? I don't know hardly any of what you've said there. ASI Doom. I'm sorry, Principal Uncertainty, you've lost me there a bit. I'm in my 40s. I'm not up with all the lingo. I'm pretty much online, right? I'm on Twitter all the time. I know most of what's going on and most acronyms and most Zoomer speak, most internet speak, but a few things there I don't know. I don't know what that is or who they are. Yudkowsky. Don't know who that is, sorry. Or Sorries. I don't know who that is, sorry. All of this could be moot if they are right. Read... if anyone builds it, everyone dies. Okay, I'll check that out. I will Google that then. And the last one, Zajukes 149 says, have you read Street Without Joy by Bernard Fall? I'm afraid I haven't. But I'll check that out as well. I'll have a quick Google of that, see what that's all about. Okay, that's the show. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. It is now 19 minutes past 9 in the a.m., on Wednesday, the 21st of January, in the year of our Lord, 2026. Thank you for watching. Remember, that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Do try and make it count. Carpe diem, seize the day if you can. Until tomorrow then, take care.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.